Translation in purple by Srila Prabhupada. Jai. Lord Sri Krishna caused three well-performed Ashwamedha Yajnas, horse sacrifices, to be conducted by Maharaj Yudhisthira, and thus caused his virtuous fame to be glorified in all directions, like that of Indra, who had performed 100 such sacrifices. Purport. This is something like the preface of the performances of Ashwamedha Yajna by Maharaj Yudhisthira. The comparison of Maharaj Yudhisthira to the King of Heaven is significant. The King of Heaven is thousands and thousands of times greater than Maharaj Yudhisthira in opulence. Yet the fame of Maharaj Yudhisthira was not less. The reason is that Maharaj Yudhisthira was a pure devotee of the Lord. And by his grace only was King Yudhisthira on the level of the King of Heaven, even though he performed only three yajnas, whereas the King of Heaven performed hundreds. That is the prerogative of the devotee of the Lord. The Lord is equal to everyone, but a devotee of the Lord is more glorified because he is always in touch with the All Great. The sun rays are equally distributed, but still there are some places which are always dark. This is not due to the sun, but due to the receptive power. Similarly, those who are 100% devotees of the Lord get the full-fledged mercy of the Lord, which is always equally distributed everywhere. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Sammilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Shrimati Sri Param Swami Tinamine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nevashesha Sunyavadi Pastyachade Satarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Vacha Patitana Pavenibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Lord Sri Krishna calls three well-performed Ashwamedha Yajnas, whole sacrifices, to be conducted by Maharaj Yudhisthira, and thus calls his virtuous fame to be glorified in all directions like that of Indra, who had performed 100 such sacrifices. We've been hearing previous verses how the devotees have been lamenting because of all the loss of life in the battle of Kuru, etc. And now all the lamentation is over. Yudhisthira Maharaj has to get to business, which is his duty, his dharma, is to rule as a king. So, excuse me, I've got a bit of a cold. So if you see tears running down my eyes in the middle of class, I'm not feeling ecstatic symptoms. It's just a cold, before I just let you know. So he needs to get down to business and rule as a king. So here it says that Krishna has caused Yudhisthira Maharaj to do this yajna. It's interesting the word cause has been used and not Krishna has arranged. When someone arranges something, they deal with all the details, you know. Get the money together, get this together, get the priests together. But Krishna, he is the Sarvakarana Karanam. He is the cause of everything. He doesn't have to go and get do every little thing by his transcendental potency. Everything automatically happens. And because Yudhisthira Maharaj, he's a 100% devotee of the Lord, he knows the desire of the Lord. So when Krishna wants something, the devotee, they are connected to Krishna and they immediately know what Krishna wants. So Krishna wanted him to do this horse sacrifice, this yajna. There's a few things that I can speak about in this verse. The first thing is the yajna itself. I'll say something about it. I don't know a lot about the yajnas. But the second thing that I'm going to speak about, which is the most significant point probably, is how Krishna is explained in the purport. Krishna is very favorable to his devotee and he wants to glorify his devotee. And the third thing, which is connected to the second thing, is that it sometimes seems like Krishna is partial to his devotee, even though Krishna is equal. He's meant to be equal to all living entities, as explained in the purport. So I'm going to try to speak about these things today, hopefully. So, Ashwamedha Yajna. So obviously King Yudhisthira has won the battle, and the system is that when the king wins the battle, he has to let the rest of the world know that he's in charge. So they used to have this, Yudhisthira Maharaj used to send his four brothers to the four corners of the earth, Arjuna, Bhima, Nakula and Sahadev. And they would have this horse called a challenge horse, and it was had golden armor on it, this horse. And they would go to the kings, and they would say to the kings, either you accept Yudhisthira Maharaj as the emperor of the world, or if you don't accept, then we'll challenge you to a war. But obviously, they all accepted. You know, to see Arjuna standing there with his army, they're not going to say no, are they? So they all accepted. And if you accept that Yudhisthira Maharaj is the emperor of the world, then you have to give some tax, because that's the system. You have to give some tax. And because Yudhisthira Maharaj wanted to do this yajna, this Ashwamedha yajna, he needed a lot of wealth, because to do these yajnas, they're not cheap things, you know. So you need huge amounts of wealth. It's not like here, Prabhu, can you pop to Asita to get some bananas and apples for the yajna? You know, make sure they're organic. Only the best for the Lord. It wasn't like that. They needed huge amounts of wealth. And because Yudhisthira Maharaj's treasury was depleted because of the war, they didn't have anything left. So Krishna told Yudhisthira Maharaj, he said, you have there was a king living many, many, many years ago, one of your ancestors, King Maruta. And he was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. I think he was Lord Shiva, yeah. And he used to do these amazing yajnas. And so he pleased the Lord. And the Lord gave him a huge mountain. And this mountain was made of solid gold. And Prabhupada mentions this mountain in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Krishna said, send Arjuna to go and get some gold. Arjuna's name is also Dhananjaya, the conqueror of wealth. Actually, it was Dhananjaya Prabhu that told me this story. He said he asked Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, if you tell me where this mountain is, we can get some devotees and we can go to the Himalayas and bring some gold and we can use it for the Sankirtan Yajna. And Prabhupada said, oh, if I tell you where this mountain is, there'll be a huge war. So I think the conclusion was the mountain is on the borders of India and Pakistan or India and China. But Prabhupada mentions this mountain in the Bhagavatam. He says if anyone's got any skills in exploration, they can go and find out where this mountain is and get some gold. But Prabhupada knew where it was. It's covered with snow, so you can't see it. Maybe one day a devotee will go there. So, and also you needed expert Brahmins, which Prabhupada said in Kali Yuga, you can't do these yajnas because there's not enough wealth, and there's no Brahmins that can chant the mantras like they're meant to be chanted. So it's not possible. The Bhagavatam says in Kali Yuga, the unscrupulous, unscrupulous greedy brahmanas, they induce the innocent public by performing a yajnic show, but not revealing to them that in this age of Kali, there's no benefit by doing these types of yajnas, except for the yajna of Harinam Sankirtan. That's why in ISKCON, whenever we do yajnas, Vishnu's always there, we always chant mantras glorifying Krishna and Vishnu, and we always have kirtan and prasadam. Yeah. I remember going to yajnas when I was a child. My mum used to take us to these yajnas, and the priest would be sitting there in his leather jacket doing a yajna. And at the end, he would get up and smoke his cigarette. So it's kind of yagiris, not for this age. So the whole point Krishna wanted Yudhisthira Maharaj to do this yagya was to glorify Yudhisthira Maharaj. Because Krishna likes to glorify his devotee. Whether you glorify the devotee or you glorify Krishna, vice versa, there's no difference. But actually, to Krishna, it's better that you glorify the devotee than if you glorify him directly. Mm. Krishna's like that. Krishna likes to give the fame to his devotee. Once on a morning walk, a devotee asked Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, if Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, why didn't he spread Krishna consciousness throughout the whole world? And Prabhupada put his cane in the ground, and he said, because he wanted me to do it. And then he said, Krishna's already decided that Krishna consciousness is going to spread throughout the whole world. But he just wanted to give his devotee the credit. Just like Arjuna, Krishna told Arjuna that, he said, I've already killed all these warriors on the battlefield. They're dead. They're not coming back. So all you have to do is fight and take the credit. That's all, simply. So Krishna wants to give the credit to his devotees. Why? Pritranaya sadunam vinachaya cha duskritam. Dharma samstapanataya sambhavame yuge yuge. Krishna comes to deliver his devotee. Pritranaya sadunam and vinachaya cha duskritam. To destroy the miscreants, the demons. Yeah. And dharma samstapanataya to establish religious principles. And another name of Yudhisthira Maharaj is Dharma Raj, king of dharmic principles. And how does Krishna establish religious principles? Through the devotee. The devotee, he carries religious principles or dharma in his heart. Wherever he goes, a place becomes a holy place, right? Wherever Prabhupada went. He only spent a few days in Russia. And look at it now. He didn't spend much time in Russia at all. And did Prabhupada even go to China? But China's like, now if you look at China, how many devotees there are in China, Krishna consciousness is taking off, you know? So this is a devotee. And this is why Krishna wants to glorify the devotee. And another name for Krishna is Tirthapa, that whose feet all the holy places reside. Tamakrishna Maharaj once said, he said, everyone wants to take the dust from Krishna's lotus feet. But Krishna, he wants to take the dust from the lotus feet of the devotees. And then he said that story where Krishna had a headache and he said to Narada Muni, he said, give me the dust from your feet. And he said, no, I'm not giving you. Forget it. I'm not giving you the dust from my feet. So he said, Narada Muni, go to Vrindavan and get me some dust. So he went to Vrindavan and he asked all the residents, went to Nanda Maharaj Yasoda and all the coward boys. And they said, no, we don't want to do that, such a thing. And first he went to all the sages. So then finally he went to the gopis. And the gopis said, yeah. And they gave him tons and tons. They gave him so much dust, he couldn't carry it. And so he said to them, he said, doesn't it concern you? You know, Krishna's going to put your dust on his head. And they said, no. We don't even mind going to hell as long as Krishna's happy. So then he went to the walker and gave the dust to Krishna. And the dust, it mixed with the dwarka earth, and it turned to Gopi Chandan. That's where you get Gopi Chandan from, even though the gopis have never been to dwarka. But that's how their dust got there. Narada Muni brought it there. So in this way, Krishna wants to glorify his devotees unlimitedly. We see with Prabhupada, Yeah. Krishna put Prabhupada in so much difficulty. Why? Because that difficulty glorified Prabhupada even more. Prabhupada actually wanted to come to the West, and he was thinking, Prabhupada was originally thinking, I will come to the West, I would do, because he was doing this business, he was making, he said, I would be even, the astrologer said I could be the richest man in the world. So he was thinking, I'll make loads of money and then I'll go to the West and preach. But Krishna didn't want him to go to the West with money. Krishna wanted him to go to the West as a poor man. Why? Because that glorified Prabhupada even more. In fact, Prabhupada came with nothing. And Prabhupada's name, I think I've said this before once, but I'll say it again. Prabhupada's name will be written in the history books in the world. Everyone will know Prabhupada. Why? Because Krishna wants it, and whatever Krishna wants happens. I was on Sankirtan once. I said this story, but I'll say it again. And this was recently, not too long ago. And this man was coming towards me. He was on his mobile phone. And he just came right up my face, right close. He said, AC Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Bhagavad Gita as it is. And I said, yeah, I've got one. So I put it in his hand. And then he said again, AC Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. I said, yeah, nice name, isn't it? And he was very impressed that he could say Prabhupada's name like this, you know? Because not many people can even say Prabhupada. They find it difficult. But he said, 1975, he got a book, a Bhagavad Gita. And he said, all these years, from 75 to like 2018, all these years, he said, I've memorized this name. And then he showed me the name. He said, look at this name. How can anyone have a name like that, you know? Far out. And then while he was speaking to me, he was still on the phone to his wife. And then he said, oh, my wife said, grab a Bhagavad Gita before you go. So he took a Gita. Yeah. So anyway, my realization was that Prabhupada's so great, you know. People in the future, they will remember Prabhupada. And Prabhupada wanted Hare Krishna to be a household name, but you know, that can only happen if Prabhupada becomes a household name, because you can't separate the two. You can't separate Krishna and pure devotee. Because Krishna wants the pure devotee glorified. Yeah. See, the pure devotee, like Yudhisthira Maharaj, their qualities are amazing. Prabhupada explains that they are free from pretentious mentality, which means that they are not interested in obtaining anything for themselves. Otherwise, why else would Krishna want to glorify Yudhisthira Maharaj so much? He's not interested in obtaining anything for himself, nor is he interested in making a claim or anything. I'm trying to make Yeah, it's a nice verse. I saw it in Dandavas the other day, someone posted it. It was from the CC, Adi Leela 1731. And it says, a spiritual master or leader should not be proud of his position. Being always humbler than an ordinary common man, he should go on preaching like the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. That's nice, isn't it? Yeah? So the devotee is never thinking. He's never thinking, I'm so great, I'm this, I'm that. Yudhisthira Maharaj, as Krishna wanted to glorify him with Krishna wanted to glorify Yudhisthira Maharaj. But Yudhisthira Maharaj was thinking, his main reason for wanting to do the Ashwamedha Yajna was not to be glorified, but it was to become free from the sins he had committed. Well, so-called, he hadn't committed any sins at all, because he'd only acted according to Krishna's instruction. Therefore, there was no sin. But in his mind, he was thinking, I've committed so much sin, killing all these people. There are so many women that have no husbands, and etc. So that was the mentality. So there's a verse in the Bhagavatam. It's just steer back to your Bhagavatiya Kinchana. Sarve gunas tatra samasita suraha. Haro bhaktasya kuto mahatkuna manaratana sati devato bahi. It says that the devotee of the Lord, he automatically has all the qualities of the demigods. But he who is not a devotee, even though he may seem to have good qualities, he may think this person's got nice, but if he's not a devotee, he actually doesn't have any good qualities. And why is that? Because his mind is always hovering on the mental platform, and he's sure to be allured by the material energy. Because their motivation is always to want something for themselves. When your motivation is always to want something for yourself, then the material energy is there to always to disturb the mind, especially when you cannot get it. But for devotees, we should always just want to please Krishna, the Guru, and Krishna. Once a devotee, he was speaking in this realization he had, and he said Prabhupada came to the temple, and there was Guru Puja going on, hundreds of devotees, men, women, children, offering their obeisances, offering flowers, like you would, and he was offering the Guru Puja to Prabhupada, and he had this amazing realization. He said, even though Prabhupada was sitting there on the Vyasasan and he's been worshipped by so many devotees, so much, and the Guru Puja was going, it seemed like Prabhupada was sitting in a different room somewhere else. It was like Prabhupada wasn't even in that room. You know? Because Prabhupada, so the pure devotee is completely aloof. He never accepts, he never gets enamored by material opulence or worship. And he said, and the devotee's realization was that yes, Prabhupada is simply accepting that offering on behalf of his spiritual master. And his spiritual master accepts it on behalf of his spiritual master, and it goes all the way back to Krishna, like that. But the guru never accepts anything for himself, only on behalf of his guru, like that. So Krishna is ready. It says in the purport, Krishna, he is ready to glorify his devotee, and that is the prerogative of the devotee of the Lord, because he's 100% surrendered to the Lord, the devotee. but even sometimes it seems like Krishna's partial, right? Only he's partial to his devotees. He doesn't. But Krishna says he's equal to all living entities. Suridam Sarva Bhutanam. So, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 7, text 1, Parikshit Maharaj, he has the same question. And he says that a doubt arose from Parikshit Maharaj's heart. And Prabhupada says, doubts only rise from the heart of a pure devotee, so we can benefit from the answer. So that his doubt was that, so he asked a question to Sukadeva Goswami. He said, how is it that Krishna, he is Sridham Sarva Bhutanam, he's equal to all living entities, well-wisher of all living entities. But sometimes it seems like he's favorable to the demigods. Whenever there's a fight between the demigods and demons, he's always taking side of the demigods, like an ordinary man, for the sake of Indra. So Sukadeva Goswami says, Krishna is, he's the reservoir of all pleasure. You know? So therefore, what benefit would he get by siding with the demigods? And he is transcendental. So he wouldn't fear the demons. Yeah. And he's not full of envy either. So these qualities, fear, envy, siding, these are all material qualities of the material world. And Prabhupada says, in the purport, he says, first of all, we have to distinguish what is spiritual and what is material. Right? Krishna is Parameshvara, the supreme controller, and he controls everything. He controls the material energy. Yeah. He's not controlling this, is he? That's all right. Don't worry about it. It's fine. It's all right. Krishna can never control the microphone. That's the thing. You know? He's got microphones. He's Parameshwara. He's the supreme controller of everything. So for why would Krishna side with someone? For Krishna to side with the demigods or be partial would mean that Krishna would also go down to that level. Just like I give you an example, there was a story with Prabhupada. Sometimes devotees would like to go to Prabhupada and complain. If you went to Prabhupada, you complain, you had to be pretty brave. So anyway, he went to Prabhupada to complain and said, Prabhupada, this temple president, such and such, he's not chanting his rounds properly, he's not doing this, he's not doing that. And what did Prabhupada say? Did Prabhupada say to him, yeah, no, I agree with you, yeah, and go down to his level, and like we do, you know? Someone comes to us and complains about someone, we may get into it. And then you take sides, don't you? What does Prabhupada do? He called that devotee up to his office, to his room, the devotee that was being complained about. He called him up to his room and he said, okay, to the other devotee, you tell him what you just told me. And Prabhupada just stood back. And all of a sudden, everything's fine. Okay, just get on with your service then. So it's like the pure devotee, he doesn't get involved. Because things, whether it's between demigods and demons or human beings, it's all, as far as Krishna's concerned, it's all petty, really. It's like children playing, children fighting. Yeah? So Krishna doesn't want to come down to that level. And then Sukadeva Goswami says that it's only because we're influenced by the modes of material nature, especially passion and ignorance, that we think Krishna's partial, because we're seeing it on a material level. And then he says, when mode of goodness is prominent, flourishing, the demigods and sages flourish. When passion is prominent, the demons flourish. When ignorance is prominent, the rakshasas flourish. So when there's fighting between demigods and demons, the demigods generally win because they're in a mode of goodness, and goodness is superior. So this is the thing. Yeah. Prabhupada was on a plane once, and the pilot came out of the plane, he came out of the cockpit to speak to Prabhupada. He sat next to Prabhupada, and he asked Prabhupada three questions. And the first question was, if God is all good, why is there evil? And Prabhupada said, for God there is no evil, it's only good. It's like I have my front and I have my back. If something happens to my back, I still have to take care of it. So similarly, the evil is like the back of God and good is like the front of God. So then second question, he said, okay, if everything is good on God's side of things, then why is there evil? And then Prabhupada said, it's like the sun. There's no shadow on the sun. But by turning our back on the sun, we create the shadow. So when we turn our back to Krishna, when we turn our back to God, we create so many negative things in our lives. And then the third question was, so how can we become peaceful? And then Prabhupada gave him the peace formula, to see God as the proprietor of everything, the supreme enjoyer and the well-wisher of all living entities. So it's only when we turn our back to Krishna, then so many problems arise in our lives, you know. Specifically when we come down to the mode of passion and ignorance. I won't say devotees are mainly in the mode of ignorance. It's mainly passion that we're in. Me speaking. I was preaching to myself here. So anyway, like the verse, there's a comparison given between Indra and Yudhisthira Maharaj here. So Indra, he's a devotee also. But he's a Kama Mishra Bhakti. His devotional service is not pure. He's tinged. He's very much attached to wanting to enjoy the fruits of his devotional service. Whereas Yudhisthira Maharaj is just completely, utterly surrendered to Krishna. And as devotees, we need to get to that platform of complete surrender to Krishna and not be like the demigods. Because sometimes we want to be like demigods. Yeah? We want to be in the mode of goodness. We want to be powerful. We want this. We want that. But that is not the goal of a devotee. Just like Indra was fighting once Vritasura, Indra was actually, he won the battle against Vritasura, and he chopped Vritasura's head off. He said it took him 6 months to chop his head off. And his arms. And in Prabhupada says, in the Prabhupada, he says, even though Indra was victorious in the battle, he was actually, and he got what he wanted, because he wanted the heavenly kingdom. He wanted to enjoy it for millions and millions of years in the heavenly planets. But Prabhupada said, but Indra has to remain in this material world and rot. Whereas Vritasura was a pure devotee, actually. Even though he was a demon, there's a story, he got cursed in his last life. He was a pure devotee. He was Chitraketu in his last life, and he got cursed. But Vritasura was actually the one who was glorious, because he attained the kingdom of God. He went back to Godhead. And actually Krishna favored him at that time, at that point. And Indra had to rot. So for a pure devotee, to not have the association of Krishna, even being in the heavenly planets, it's like being in hell, really. This is why Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I'd rather take birth in a house of a pure devotee as an insect, so I can roll in the dust, rather than be in a heavenly planet and enjoy it, and not have the association of Vaishnavas. So this is the main point. To a Vaishnava is so dear to Krishna, because a Vaishnava, he's dear to every living entity, because every living entity is dear to him. And this is how we get the mercy, by serving the Vaishnava. Anyway, I had so many things to say. Kind of gone. So we need to come to the point of mode of goodness and forget this passion mode. Mode of goodness. Rupa Goswami says in Upadeshamrita, what's that verse? He says, while engaging in devotional service successfully with full-hearted endeavor, enthusiasm, and perseverance, whilst gazing in his occupational duty in association of Vaishnavas, and always being in a mode of goodness. So this is the thing. So associating with devotees, and always being in a mode of goodness, engaging in devotional service like that. We need enthusiasm, perseverance, and endeavor. Perseverance, because devotional service, we don't get the result straight away. It takes time. Therefore, we need to persevere. Krishna sometimes doesn't give us the result to make our desire to want it more and more and deeper. And of course, determination is important. And determination comes when we practice strictly in the association of devotees, like that. Okay, I'm going to finish here because it's 8:30. Are there any questions?